It was White Boy Summer, wasn't it? I don't even know if I'm going to include this intro. I'm probably not, because Jay knows that I'm terrible at intros. So we're just going to get right into it.
And welcome to Comic Book Cinema, where we give away free money, crypto, whatever else you need.
Absolutely.
We will buy you the top graded comic books.
Tens, Deadpool 1, issue 1.
That's actually our first giveaway. No, but in all seriousness, this was just such a wild movie. I mean, I can't really think of a better first adjective to describe it. It was just absolutely nuts. This is something that really, truly should not have worked. But I would say that it not only worked, but it was a great film. We're expecting a lot of these cameos from days gone by. Characters from, gosh, 20 years ago. We got Elektra coming back in this film. We got Blade. Nobody saw that coming.
The only Blade.
The only Blade. And that's really important that he said that, because let's silence the nonsense about being other Blades. This is one Blade.
Just one. I loved the cameos. I think it was crazy to see my theater, and I'm sure this might have been for you guys' experience as well. My theater lost their minds. As soon, because Elektra, when Jennifer Garner walked out, people were like, ah. And then when Wesley Snipes walked out, everybody, he got an applause break. He got an ovation. Personally, my favorite was Channing Tatum as Gambit, because I do think that felt very out of left field as far as the cameos go. Like, from a comedy perspective, it's the rule of threes. And the Gambit, the way he was playing with the crazy thick Creole accent.
We live up by another day. We live up by another day.
Yes.
Why not?
Really worked for me from a comedy place.
Oh, yeah. No, and he's wanted to do this for so long. Him doing it was kind of funny. Like, he would never be the person that got the part. But if he got the part, you would have to do something funny with it.
You'd have
to.
So
that was cool to see that. And that they made fun of him in the dialogue was very important. The Deadpool kept making fun of him. I've seen a lot of people disappointed with the cameos. But I don't know how you could be disappointed with Blade. I feel like that's enough. I mean, Chris Evans, you could say that's the biggest cameo maybe in terms of pop and funny, just seeing Johnny Storm or whatever get Blade.
Absolutely nuts, right? I had almost forgotten about that. I mean, that's crazy that they got Chris Evans to come back, but as Johnny Storm. And the one cameo that we haven't mentioned yet, what did you guys think about Henry Cavill as Wolverine?
It was fun.
Did you hate Paul Bridget?
I don't know. Henry Cavill is one of those people I would like to see in other roles, but I am glad they did it, because it was like, I mean, he's huge. The dude is jacked. Mm-hmm. Beyond belief jacked. I mean, just in that one scene, you could tell, like, I don't even know if, like, we need superpowers at a certain point if he's that strong. I don't think it necessarily means he's not going to do anything else, but in my mind, it was kind of like, okay, well, that's it. That's his one Marvel thing.
I certainly hope not. I think that he could be a great... I mean, he's a mountain of a man, okay? Let's just start off with that. It's no secret on this channel that he is literally my favorite Superman of all time. I know that's sacrilegious for some to say, but I would love to see him come back in the MCU. It was also funny that they kind of made jabs at the comic accurate Wolverine that was like 5'1".
Oh, yeah.
In the bar. Yeah. Hey, Luke, has anybody told you that you kind of look like G-Eazy right now currently with your haircut and everything?
No, and I don't think G-Eazy, if you asked anybody who G-Eazy was at this point, you would
have been. See, I'm sure that was a great joke, but half of it got cut out, Luke. You might want to
G-Eazy's catching strays from this recording.
I love Luke's confidence to make fun of you for his own bad connection. That's right. Confidence. That's doctor confidence.
Oh, he's definitely got the doctor confidence going full strength.
Anyway, back to your G-Eazy comment. I don't know if you could hear me, but you've really dated yourself. G-Eazy hasn't been relevant in seriously like 20 years. I think he had 5 songs or an EP or something, and then he's been forgotten about. F you on that front. Second off, I'm in Miami now. Okay. So, you know, I got to fit in with the Cubans. This is what it is. back to Blade. I'll be honest, you know, I'm probably the lesser informed out of the four of us. I didn't even know Blade was in, like, the superhero universe. So to see him, I was a little bit taken aback. But to see Carmen Electra back on screen, I didn't know that Jennifer Garner still was alive or an actress at this point. So it was awesome to see her career rejuvenated. Her character was about as empty as it was the first time they did the movie. But it was still pretty great to see her killed a second time. as for the bald Magneto fetus that apparently survived to become some sort of demon queen, I thought that was an interesting turn. But overall, it seemed like just 1,000 punchlines back to back. I audibly laughed so loud at the intro to the movie when Deadpool used Wolverine's spinal column to demolish the TVA. That was probably the most hysterical thing I have seen in at least 10 years.
Combined with Bye 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 playing in the background. That was the most hilarious, ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it shouldn't, once again, that should not have worked, but it was absolutely hilarious. I was dying in that intro.
Of course you're going to desecrate Logan in some way. By making this movie, that Logan movie is getting touched. So why not just dig up his body and use it to take out the arguably the most annoying part of Marvel is the TVA. The concept of the TVA is really, a lot of people really hate it. So why not literally use the corpse of the greatest superhero movie, arguably, to destroy, you know, the TVA? That was pretty solid.
Jay, I think giving a little bit too much poetic credibility to the Deadpool series, but it is some nice irony, I'll agree.
There's so many jokes in this, and I was really hoping, honestly, for more of them to land, because I loved the first Deadpool movie. I thought the second Deadpool was good, but this one, it was a little uneven. It was more uneven for me with some of the comedy. Like, I think the Bye 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 fight sequence at the beginning was fun, but I feel like they did like one too many cuts him doing the cameo or to doing the actual Bye 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 choreography, right? Like, I get that's the joke. I get that you're doing a fight sequence to Bye Bye Bye. That's funny. I don't need to see you cut back two or three more times to you going bye bye bye. I get it.
Maybe if I go back and watch it again, I'll feel differently about it. But right now, where I'm at currently, it was just so over the top that I could have seen them go back 7 times to him doing this, and it was just, I could not believe it. It was so wild and funny. That's where I'm at with it.
It's kind of like the beating the dead horse joke. At this point, now it's funny because they're continuing to do it. Like, going back over and over, I agree. They needed 3 or 4 more times of him, like slapping his own ass and the camera zooming in. I will say the amount of jokes they were able to fit into this movie was more than any comedy. Even at the beginning intro, when the camera does a 360, I don't know if everybody noticed, but it ends up zooming in on his butthole to start the first scene.
It's very subtle.
Like, every single thing that they could do to, like, just be raunchy and backwards was forced into this movie.
So, G-Eazy, I mean, I'm sorry, Luke brought up earlier the villain of the film. Hey, in all seriousness,
make you off-brand Johnny Swim?
That's a reference that I didn't understand. I thought the villain worked. The actress did a really good job conveying that crazy, this villain could do anything at any given moment. And it also was established pretty early on when we got the cameo from Johnny Storm, and she literally just made a finger motion and his skin and everything was ripped off. I mean, that was a pretty good way to introduce your villain, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not familiar at all with Cassandra Nova as a character. I'm only slightly more informed about comic stuff than Luke is. There's some stuff that, like, with the effects of her hand going inside people's heads, where it was very funny, but also so unsettling. And I think it added to, like, the layer of her as a villain to be, like, doing something in a comedy movie where we're like, all right, we're having fingers pop out of people's noses. But also, that's so creepy. It's so weird to look at. And it also shows, like, this, she has a level of power that I think is really terrifying and good for a villain of this kind of.
Yeah, I wanted more of her and less of the TVA. And I think that's probably my biggest gripe is, like, she has this moment where Wolverine convinces her to send them back, but then she just goes mega evil and follows them. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to delete all of everything, which is fine. But I don't know. I don't like the TVA. So that's kind of a problem there, but I do like her and what her character was, could be, I guess. It's a little on the nose evil. Like, I'm just going to destroy everything because that's a little much, but you know.
I would agree with that. And I guess I didn't think about that before, but you're right. It was one of those villains that just wants to see the world burn for the sake of seeing the world burn. They did kind of establish earlier or later in the film that the twin of Charles, and she felt a certain type of way for being trapped in the void her whole entire existence. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, like, if you destroy everything, what's there left to go back to?
The other thing, too, it's like if you're going to see a Deadpool movie, you're not exactly going to get a subtle villain. Like, there's nothing subtle about anything in the Deadpool franchise by design. You can get away with having some characters who have maybe their motivations are a little bit more flimsy, or their archetypes are a little bit more on the nose, where it's like, all right, we're not really getting a whole lot of nuance to this character here. But that's okay, because we're getting beaten over the head with literally every other piece of exposition or comedy that happens over the course of the movie.
The movie in general had no plot. I mean, it was like very thin. This really qualifies more as a comedy with some intermittent, pretty good fight scenes rather than any real character arc. In fact, I think that's one of the weaknesses of the movie, is that they leaned into trying to give motivation to Deadpool that somehow was pure, when they should have actually leaned in the opposite direction, that he has no pure motivations and he's just this sick, twisted blob that happens to do something good every once in a while because it benefits some other dark facet of his existence, rather than to be like, I need to have meaning. I need to mean something. I don't know if that was in the comics. It felt so out of place to have the same dude who was like talking about pegging with his adversaries to then going on to be like, man, I really just have to find a purpose for my life. Dude, nobody's buying that. They should have just been like, no, actually, Deadpool just likes to kill people and fornicate with random objects or whatever organism is available. Like, that's a more consistent theme than to all of a sudden try to motivate him to change the world. But it was still funny to watch him in Tony Stark's office call that guy the chauffeur. That was a pretty good.
Aren't you the driver?
Yeah. There was a lot of great comedy, honestly. I want to ask you guys about Hugh Jackman. How do you think that he did in this film? It was obviously, that's probably one of the biggest attractions about the film, is not only seeing him return, you know, after Logan, which was beloved. How do you think that that was handled in the film? Do you think that he looks a little, I mean, obviously he looks older now, but I'll say that I think that he still, even at 55 years old, pulled this role off very brilliantly. There might have been some special effects used maybe to make him look a little younger, but he looked great, especially at the end when they touched hands. I mean, I don't know if that was actually his body, but my gosh, the guy is still ripped. He is absolutely shredded.
He's doing all right. You know, he looks pretty close to where he was at before. He definitely didn't look like grandpa per se. I think he still stepped up to the plate. I like the idea.
He's older in Logan than this movie to me.
Yeah. Well, of course, I guess he was supposed to as well, because this was a younger version that Ryan Reynolds had found. I really like that he kept talking about them when he broke the fourth wall, saying they're going to bring you back to your 90. I just hope it's not for another Deadpool movie.
And they might. He's probably going to be in other stuff now. I mean, he's divorced now. He's acting more. His kids are growing up. I assume he's going to be in everything that anyone wants him to be in at this point. I mean, why not? But I agree. He needs to be in something serious. I did like this, but I don't know if I'd like another Deadpool Wolverine. I think this was like good. Like, this was like, okay, that's great. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. Worth the money. Had a great time. But if I see Wolverine again, I want to see him being serious in a serious movie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that we got the mileage comedically out of this movie by having Wolverine be the straight man to all of Deadpool's shenanigans. Which is like, that's a comedy trope as old as time. The straight man and absurd person in the duo. Hugh Jackman can play in the comedy as that role well, but I just think, I mean, especially after having watched Logan and that indelible version of like, this is what Wolverine is as a character, mm-hmm. not just, you know, the fan, but also just sort of like your average everyday viewer like me. Also, he's got to make some alimony payments. He's got to pay off some things. So bring him back. Let's get another Oscar nominated superhero movie with Hugh Jackman behind it. I think if there's ever a guy who can pull it
another
off,
$50 million in the bank account. Let's get them coffers built up.
An extra couple mil doesn't hurt. I've heard all kinds of crazy rumors since this film came out. I've heard the rumor that they're going to now make a Hulk versus Wolverine movie, a whole entire movie about that, which at first I was like, that's absurd. But then I started thinking about it more, like that would be a really cool movie to see, actually. And it makes sense because Marvel cannot put out a solo Hulk film. But as long as Hulk is teamed up with someone, you know, legally at this point, I think that Universal still has the distribution right, something along those lines. So Marvel cannot do a solo Hulk film. So that makes sense. I do think that he will be coming back minimum in the next two Avenger films, which you know have now been announced at San Diego Comic-Con. But I really hope that after that, we can somehow tie a bow on the Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and finally move on to someone else who, I don't know, might be a little bit younger.
He's going to come back as a villain at that point, you know, because that's what you do. If you're Tony Stark, you become Doom. If you're Wolverine, you become Magneto, I guess. I don't know. You just keep, right?
X-23, I really hate that they spoiled that surprise in the trailer. I know that, I mean, really, for the most part, they did a great job keeping these other cameos secret, although we already knew about Elektra from a year or so ago. We knew that she was confirmed. But Blade and Channing Tatum, all those cameos, and X-23 until we got that trailer a few weeks back. I mean, it was great. I thought it was really well done. Yes, I hear the complaints about the plot being very thin. But for movies like this, as long as you have those really good action sequences that work really well, I mean, this is just my personal opinion, but if you have those action sequences that work so well like they did in this film, just like going back to the first Avengers film, very light on plot, but awesome in every other area. Special effects look great. Action sequences were awesome. It worked for me.
I don't think anybody can argue about the entertainment value of this film, John. The points are is that there were subtle attempts to make this movie somewhat serious, and I think that they were wasted. I think that they should have just continued on the vapid, empty, plotless humor that the entire movie was, rather than to try to force some meaning into it here
and there.
We still
got some serious moments, though. I mean, there were still plenty of serious moments at the end. Well,
from Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman was the only one who were like, oh, okay, let me listen to this guy for a second. And even then, it was, you know, it's like, oh, let me hear Hugh Jackman's crocodile tears. No, pan back to him killing the Deadpool dog or the baby Deadpool and all that. Like, I don't want to hear Hugh Jackman. Didn't we talk about him coming out in a wheelchair? I guess that, like, he put all that crap to rest.
You're forced to. Hugh Jackman is 50-something years old. He can't be Wolverine for the next 10, 15 years. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Hand the guy a walker and make it the same type of steel that he has in his bones. Make that a part of his character. We already have one disabled individual on X-Men, right? You got the guy with the wheelchair, and he's like one of the strongest characters. I mean, I think that Hugh Jackman has a lot to offer as long as he's got a pulse.
Be careful what you wish for, Luke, because sometimes it comes true. I thought we got some serious moments from Deadpool too. That moment where he shows Hugh the photo, this is my entire world. It wasn't all silly. The character of Deadpool is going to be immature. We know we're going to get lots of humor already with a Marvel film. Times that by 100 with a character like Deadpool. I didn't think it was too over the top. Am I off base here, Bumbridge?
I think this is what happens when you Disneyfy Deadpool. You got to make it have a little bit more of something where you're like, oh, I guess I got to root for this person as a character other than just me being super entertained by watching how crazy the kills are and how wacky the jokes are, which I'm sort of on the same page as Luke. I think that you don't necessarily need it from Deadpool. I think from Wolverine, it makes sense. Logan is a character. We know there's like an inherent level of tragedy there. Deadpool, I'm not really buying the tragedy elements so much in this and the parts where it's like, oh, there's got to be a purpose, even with like the stakes that are there, it still feels a little bit like it's undercutting what I imagine as Deadpool's view. But
yeah, the whole him and Vanessa not being together at the beginning, I wasn't buying that they would suddenly like not work out after all the craziness of the first two. Like, honestly, love Deadpool, but I hope this is his last movie, because if you put Deadpool in a serious Marvel film, it's a little bit of a problem. I don't think you could do it, because either the comedy won't be good or the seriousness will get flooded with comedy and it'll just turn into this, which this is fine for what it was. But if you make the next Avengers film that's supposed to be serious with a serious villain and you put a guy that breaks the fourth wall in it, you're probably not having any seriousness from that point forward. I love Deadpool, though, but it's maybe no more.
It's like the difference between a movie like Scream and a movie like Scary Movie. Like, Scream works because there's humor in it, but it's still primarily a horror film. I think this worked a little bit less because they were trying so hard to have the comedy come at you a mile a minute, but also they had this like these serious moments where it felt a little unbalanced. It felt like things were out of place. And, you know, like I was saying, I think for me, some of the jokes, as not a huge Marvel fan, there's a lot of fan service in this movie. And as someone who's not a fan, there's a lot of stuff that didn't particularly service me as a filthy casual.
Very interesting. And that's what I was curious to find out about. What about you, Lou? You're not like a diehard Marvel guy, but you keep up with it relatively.
I would consider myself somewhere in the same camp as Jay. I mean, I don't know. I feel like just being a male in the United States growing up officially makes you a comic book fan. But, you know, I don't think that I ever like I've owned a comic. I watched the cartoons as a kid, Spider-Man, X-Men, whatever came on Cartoon Network. So, you know, I'm familiar with it, but I'm not like reading the gospel on the thing you just told me about Doom being played by Iron Man. You know, I just learned about that here. So I would consider myself the average consumer on this issue. Again, I was completely blind. I was like, what is Blade doing here? I thought that was a one and done movie. I didn't realize he was tied into all of this.
Yeah, so for the casual fan, this movie was like a love letter to the old Fox, X-Men, Fantastic Four. Right. I mean, I guess, you know, and then Elektra, Blade, and things like that.
You just reminded me. I can't believe they wasted. They kind of played on this, but the fact that Deadpool and
Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil, that they both like are dudes dressed in red spandex with a like, how did they not make a joke about that? Like where Elektra comes up to him or something and thinks that he's Daredevil. And he's like, no, wait, it's, I don't know. He makes some gay joke or something.
Yeah, they did throw in a joke there about, you know, Elektra threw out a joke in the film because, you know, she used to be married to Ben Affleck. I forget exactly what she said, but I thought that was a funny. As far as the self-awareness, I was really somewhat surprised that Feige and the Marvel and Disney machine let a lot of these jokes be in the film.
Now, this is what I heard 2 years ago. And so I knew every spoiler in this movie except Blade. And Blade was something I was hoping for. But there was a huge leak 2 years ago. And with that, and that leak was that Ryan Reynolds only agreed to this if the script was his way or the highway. 100% control. And they've tried to act like Kevin Feige's trying to act like he has a say. That's not what I've heard from people not on YouTube. Like actual people in the industry have said that contract was, I'm only doing it if it's my way or the highway. And that's what it seemed like. Because yeah, Disney wouldn't have approved some of that stuff. Some of that stuff was actually making fun of all of Marvel, Endgame, everything they've done since, everything they might do after. Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance that none of them come back. That it actually was a kind of like a middle finger and we're done. Like this was a good ride.
It's not my turn for peg play, but it is for Disney. Man, yeah. I'm sorry for everybody in the theater because they didn't hear anything for another minute and a half.
Yeah. In my mind, part of me thinks he put that in there because of the contract. This is just how it is. You don't get to say so. Like Kevin Feige, you can come on set and we'll be nice to you, but you know, it's our way. It's not your way.
That's very interesting. I do think that, like you guys were talking about with Hugh, he's going to come back. He's going to come back at least for Secret Wars, and now we know it's going to be called Doomsday. Same with Ryan Reynolds, I want to say. But, yeah, I mean, who knows at this point? I do think that it's a very high possibility.
Like, we're all talking about how this really should be the last Deadpool movie. It's like when you see a really good one and done series and you're like, all right, here comes season two. And you're like, oh, no, don't do that. That's how I feel like with Deadpool. I don't want another movie. But he would be very good for cameos, like to just show up for a comedic relief briefly in future films. And that's what I hope to see from him.
Yeah, just have him in Avengers for like a hot little minute. You know, he can't be, I think what you were saying, Bonebridger, is right. You can't have him like in the film featured prominently because he's definitely going to make the film feel a lot less serious. But if he just pops in for a couple minutes and they're bleeping him and he's self-aware about it, you know, makes a joke about that because the film's PG-13, something like that, like tiny, maybe give him something, you know, memorable to do and then right back out of the film. That's the only way that it probably could work. Anyway, guys, if you had to rate this film on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being unwatchable, terrible, I never want to see it again, and 10 being perfect in every way possible, where would you rate it? I think that this is probably going to be the hottest take, so we'll start with Mr. Luke.
He froze.
Okay, well, we'll go with Mr. J.
Listen, I unfortunately have felt that the Deadpool franchise had some diminishing returns to it. I didn't hate this movie. I certainly didn't love it. It felt like it was pretty middle of the road, just slightly above average for me. There's some good jokes, but there's a lot of bad jokes. There's some cool action, but there's a lot of stuff that just felt like it was not quite catered to my sensibilities. And I recognize that. I'm not the target audience for this movie at the end of the day. But I do wish that there's a world in which I was enjoying it as much as the guy sitting next to me at the theater who was losing his mind at everything that was happening.
You were thinking to yourself, what am I doing here?
I was just sitting there. I was just like, man, this guy's having a great time. I'm gonna eat my popcorn and not have spit takes like this guy's having, I guess. Overall, I give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with it. I as a deep Marvel fan, if I don't peel back that layer, I could say it's like a 8 or a 9. But in terms of what it could have been and the balance that it needed that it didn't do, like I understand they were just having a great time and it's going to make a ton of money and people are going to enjoy it. What could have been versus what was, I have to go like 6 or 7. I mean, it's fun. It's an unapologetic fun movie. But if you're deep in the Marvel stuff, it's probably higher for you. I think that it's probably higher. But if you're looking at this for the future of Marvel, it does nothing for the future of Marvel. It's an insult to Marvel. And I do love that. Like, you're not building upon this to the next thing. You're going to have to ignore it. If you don't ignore it, you have problems because Deadpool breaks all logic and reasoning and rhyme. Wolverine, you could use Wolverine. But if you bring both of them in and you have Dr. Doom trying to be serious and Ryan Reynolds is looking at the camera and talking about Dr. Doom's outfit, it's kind of over.
Wow. So we definitely got lower ratings than I expected.
I hate to be a sheep, but honestly, I give it a 6.5. It did have entertainment value. It's not a movie I'm going to, you know, I probably could watch it again, honestly, just because I'm sure there were punchlines I missed. Because it really does just, it says so many jokes. Like there's got to be like, I don't know, 6 jokes per minute or something in there. It's not something you're going to watch for any sort of, I don't know, feeling compelled. It's just something to entertain. It's definitely a movie you could just like walk in the middle of, enjoy, and then leave. So for the very fact of being entertained, I'm going to give it a 6.5. Don't want to see another Deadpool.
I am Mr. Optimistic, right? You know me. And I'm a diehard MCU fan, diehard superhero movie fan. I really, this number that I'm about to throw out is actually a 0.5 less than what I had it at. So almost every time a superhero movie comes out, I give it a higher rating. And then a year, 6 months later, it's going to drop a bit. Right now, I have it at an 8.5. I thought this film was probably the best thing they could have given us as a love letter to the Fox universe, as a love letter to Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Deadpool, so many different things that they did so well. The action sequences were bat crap crazy. I could not believe my eyes on some of these scenes when they fought all the Deadpools. I get the complaints that maybe there was a little too much joking, but at the same time, I mean, you know what you're signing up for. This is a Deadpool film and a Marvel film. So yes, I am still gushing and I can't wait to watch it again. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Comic Book Cinema. Check out Jay Light on his social medias, The Bone Bridger on his social media platforms, and also check us out. We got Instagram, we got TikTok at Real Comic Book Cinema. You can find us on Facebook and in podcast format. Until next time, have a good one.